So today I have an amazing guest. Her name is Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's everything with you?
Yeah, fine.
All right. And the reason why I have Nicole today is that because she's the number one winner of the Halloween tournament 2014. Yep, she actually won, and by a staggering number of downloads in the United States store, her game had 830 downloads just in the United States on one single day. She crushed the competition in the mobile app reskinning tournament. The second to her is only at 130 downloads. So as you can see, she just like has like 6 to 7 times the next competition. She just crushed them all. So Nicole, we'd like to know what was your game about. So before even getting there, I want to say to people that are not familiar with the tournament, I want to say that the way the tournament works is that there was about 100 participants, and the way it works is that we give away one source code. So anyone that registered have that source code that was called Make Them Stack, which is basically having blocks to, you need to align blocks on top of each other without having them falling. If they fall, you lose. And the purpose is to have as many blocks as possible, as high as possible, and reach the highest score. So, you know, it's a very, very standard classic game mechanic, and it's always, it never fails. It's always something that, you know, gives people excitement in the App Store. So, Nicole, tell us about the name of your game and what type of reskinning theme did you apply to it?
My game is called Amazing Pillar, and it's not about Halloween at all. I got rid of all the Halloween graphics and just reduced it to the bare minimum, having bricks, just squares, of bright colors that you stack one on top of each other. So I went for a very simple solution.
Okay, yes. And the first thing that I saw that's very special in your game is that, as you said, the graphics are very simple. You kept it to the bare minimum. Like, I'm looking at it in the App Store right now, Amazing Pillar. And the first thing that that I see is the icon. So the icon cannot get any simpler than that. It's just black background and three cubes, dark blue, light blue, and white color. So so how did you come up with this idea of going with so simplest graphics?
I had a look at the App Store. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that there was a trend going to very reduced and minimal graphics. Okay. And at that time, a game that just had a white background and a black square in it was doing really, really well. So I thought, I'll mimic that and come up with a simple graphic.
Okay, I see. Yes, because when we look at the other participants, the person that's ranked number 2 and number 3 have actually great graphics. There's Roy Morano, that's from United States, and Mukul Verma, that's from Canada. They actually have great Halloween graphics. And even though the graphics were great, you still beat them. So congratulations on that. Now, something that I noticed is that your screenshots are very clear and straight to the point, and they explain what the game is all about, and that's what I really like. So who made the graphics for you? Did you do it yourself, or you had somebody work on them?
No, I did the graphics myself. I'm actually a graphic designer.
Oh, okay.
So, for me, that's the best part of it, to do the graphics.
Okay. Now, do you mind sharing download numbers? Do you happen to know how many downloads you got total with this app?
Yes, I actually had a look this morning, and it's coming to 20,000.
All right. Excellent. How is it going now that Christmas is approaching? Do you see some kind of a trend ramping up, or what do you see?
No, not really. I'm noticing that download numbers are going down at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit, I haven't done any work on it for a while. So I guess I would have to tune it a little bit for Christmas.
Okay, makes sense. And advertising-wise, did you keep any advertisement in it?
Yes, I did, and so that's the major source of revenue.
Okay, so now if I remember, I did not put any in-app purchase, or I had two different versions, one with in-app purchases and one without. Which one
Well,
did you get?
this one doesn't have in-app purchase,
Okay, yes.
so you can't really get rid of the ads.
Okay, right. So the other version was with in-app purchase where you could basically remove ads for, I don't know, $1 or $2. And also you could slow down the speed at which blocks comes to you. So that's a great way to make the game easier and basically reach higher scores. But I mean, you did great without that. So congratulations again.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, yeah, go for it. I'm sorry.
No, what I was going to say is I've got other games that do offer that possibility to get rid of the ads, but people are not really using it. So.
Okay, so you're saying that you'd rather not have it in your game since it's more work on your side and you don't see any value in it,
It
not in the
doesn't,
games you had.
it seems like it doesn't really matter.
Now, about the whole reskinning process, did you find it easy? Is there anything that was hard, or did you get into any obstacles?
No, I actually found it really easy because there were just, I think, about 15 graphics in the game. And so that was done quite fast. And so you just exchange the images and you're good to go.
Okay, good. And that's basically what we're trying to do here at AppsFresh. You know, give the most value by providing source codes that can be reskinned in absolutely no time. And the great thing about what you're doing is that you're the graphic designer yourself, so you don't even have to hire anyone. Now, how did you learn about publishing your game yourself? Since you're a graphic designer, how did you acquire this knowledge about publishing to the App Store?
I actually took one of your classes earlier this year,
Okay.
doing the Flappy 48 reskin, which was my very first game I've designed, or my very first app.
Wait, which one? The Flappy Bird or the Flappy 2048?
No, the Flappy 2048.
Oh, okay, got it.
That's when when I got in touch with the app reskinning process for the very first time.
Okay.
And so I heard about it and I thought, wow, that sounds manageable because yeah, I can do the graphics, and if there's nothing else to do, perfect. So I gave it a try, and thanks to your course, it wasn't a problem at all, and so I got into it, and I really like it, and I continued. So by the
Okay.
time now, I've got 12 apps in the App Store.
Oh, congratulations. So when did you start? You started earlier this year. So how long have you been in doing this for?
Well, just 6 months.
6 months? Okay, and you have 12 games. That's about 2 games a month. That sounds pretty good. And I'm sure you're going faster and faster now, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not
No?
sure. I'm trying to do more complicated games now, more advanced things.
Okay,
So
good to hear.
that's taking a little longer to develop.
Okay, so now I have a few questions. So, what made you move from easier game mechanics to more complex games? What's the reason behind? What exactly are you trying to achieve by having games that take longer to reskin?
No, not necessarily that games that take longer to reskin, but games that are more timeless, that users would play again and again and again, rather than doing the trendy games that shoot up in the App Store and then after a couple of weeks or months they just disappear again. We're
Right, I
trying to
see.
go for something more sustainable.
Right, So you're trying to move away from trending games into evergreen apps, which are apps that are just classics that are known to work and that keep generating revenues. Now, the first game source code that came to my mind was the Match 3 games, you know, Connect 3, just like Candy Crush, that have plenty of levels. Obviously, the more levels you have, the longer the users will spend their time in your game, right?
Yes.
What are you doing right now? Are you actually reskinning a new game right now?
Yes, I am. I went for a word search game, and which isn't nothing new at all. Mm-hmm. But as I'm living in Catalonia here, people around
Spain,
me they speak Catalan. And there isn't such game in Catalan, so I thought, all right, I'll go for that and try and see how I go here in the local market.
Oh, okay, great! And when you'll publish it in the App Store, I'd love to hear back from you and see how this performs. The fact that you're trying a very localized language, you know, very niche language with a very niche. Game mechanic. I'd love to see how this is working, and I'm sure the audience would love to know if you got into something here.
Yeah, I'm curious myself to see how it goes, how people here adapt it. But they love the language, so I'm hoping that they'll like it.
Okay. So now, about a totally different subject, not about this source code or the tournament, but so your background is in graphic design. Tell me more about your background. How did you end up from being in graphic design to switching into making apps? What exactly happened here?
Well, I run a design studio and I work for own clients, and they usually come with new business ideas. Mm-hmm. So they want a logo and they want a website, and which is all great fun, but there isn't a lot of money in it. And because, well, they're starting their businesses and they don't really have a budget for design. So I was looking for an area that would give me maybe more opportunities to earn some money and then as well improve my skills as well. Because I'm coming from a print background, and I went to web design, and I thought app design was just the next consequence of it.
Okay, I see. So what's in there for you in 2015? What do you see? How do you see yourself in the mobile app industry?
Well, I want to be making more apps, definitely, and I'll try to get more downloads. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is, because at the moment I'm doing everything myself.
Okay.
And I learned that it's not all about just designing the app and having it online. It's also a lot about marketing the app.
Right.
And, so at the moment I'm feeling quite overwhelmed, and I'm hoping that I can get enough revenue to be able to create a team.
Okay.
That would be my dream for 2015.
I see. So some of the revenues you're going to make from all this advertising, you're going to try to convert it and try to get someone that will work for you as an online marketer or any other ways of marketing to basically get more exposures for your apps and generate more revenues. That's your plan, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay. Now, have you tried different versions of your of any app, in the sense that have you tried multiple reskins for the same source code?
Oh yes, I always do that.
Oh, good.
Because once I start working on a source code, while creating a new game, I always come up with new ideas and what else I could do. So usually quite fast after the first release, I come up with a second and sometimes a third idea, because well, it's really easy. You've worked yourself into the project, and you know what there's going to what there's to do, and so it's way faster than the first one, and yeah, and you can make a completely different game.
Absolutely. And have you actually reused the source code from the Halloween's Make Them Stack source code, the one from the tournament?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. And how are the other games doing?
I actually did a Halloween version as well.
Okay.
It's called Wobbly Freddy. And it's a monster stacking game, but you're not stacking one monster on top of each other. I've made body parts, mm-hmm, which stack to a monster itself.
Oh, so it's like making a bigger monster out of chunks of monsters. Is that what
yes.
it is?
Oh, yes.
That's pretty cool. how did it do in the App Store?
Not quite as well as Amazing Pillar.
Okay.
Really.
That's okay. Do you ever try to modify the source code? I mean, I know you're not a graphic you're just a graphic designer. You're not a developer yourself. So, do you plan or have you modified any source code to tweak it to get more downloads or make more money out of?
No, I haven't tried that. I've played around with speed and or distances and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But no, I haven't really changed the mechanics of a game or something like that. I'm not that advanced yet. I'm trying to look into the programming language. Mm-hmm. But no, so far I wasn't brave enough to do that.
That's okay. I totally understand. I mean, it's a totally new world, you know. It's and it's huge, and it could become very very complex quickly. You said you played with some of the some of the variables, such as the speed or the size. How did you get in the source code and find where this is?
Well, I'm using Xcode to
to be able to look at the files, mm-hmm,
to set up the game, and I just searched for things like I don't know, box size or distance or speed. I'm just doing keyword searches, and usually I find something. And then I start playing around with it. And, well, the easy thing is you just have to remember what you've changed, and you can always change things
back,
that,
right,
that don't work.
Yes.
So, yeah, and that's actually fun to find out about things.
Good. And you're bringing up I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I was saying that, you know, like many of my programmer friends, usually they use some kind of weird variables that are very short, because, you know, the shorter the variables, the less space it takes for programming. So people try to, you know, use very small words, and sometimes the words don't mean anything. But whenever we create source code at Afresh, I always tell the source code programmers and even myself to use very long words. It doesn't matter if they're long or not. What matters is that they actually mean something. So, for example, in a Flappy Bird game, there's a pipe. So there's going to be those vertical pipes. So I put the name would be speed of the vertical pipe on the bottom, for example. So it's a very long name for a variable, but I do it in a way that people like you that have no experience in programming can easily find these terms and play with it. So I'm glad you actually went the extra mile and you know, and dive into the world of programming. That's already a good start.
Yeah, I'm very grateful that you're using these descriptive names, because yeah, that makes it possible for me to make my own games.
Good. And now something I'm planning on doing for this year, 2015, and you let me know if that's something that you would see yourself doing, is that I know many of the audience that I have, you know, many of them are not programmers at all. And but I think that there would be a lot of value if they learn how to do simple things. You know, first, I already created videos to show them how to add or upgrade advertising networks such as RevMob, Charboost, and so on. So we do have video lectures to show that already. But in 2015, I want to go the extra mile and show people how to add different features to a game, such as add their own in-app purchase for maybe more characters. Or is that something you would want? Or, you know, maybe like people that would be able to put their email addresses or get more feedback or a live chat or, you know, lots of different features that you would know how to add to source code to not just tweak it, but upgrade it and see different results out of it. Is that something you would want to do yourself?
Yes, definitely. That would be fantastic. Because, well, these are things I'm trying to figure out now. And I find it quite difficult because, well, so far I've seen about five different game codes. And they're all different. And so I find it still quite hard to figure out how to do that, how to really, I don't know, add an SDK or update an SDK and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, great. Then that's definitely something that I'm going to do. And we're going to do also some A-B testing because I want people to understand that sometimes the game that they already made has a lot of potential, and sometimes people don't see that. You know, they just release the source code and they think that that's it, it's done. They just cross their finger and say, hopefully it's gonna make it big in the App Store. But sometimes, you know, it's about tweaking the game a little bit here and there, or adding features or removing features, just like you did actually. Your amazing pillar source code and the game, the reskin is as minimal as possible. So you remove the visual complexity. And I want people to understand that sometimes they do have everything in their hands. They just need to keep playing with different variables to make the game more appealing to the users. So definitely something that we'll do in 2015.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. That sounds really, really interesting. And I hope,
good.
And I can get my hands on that.
Great, absolutely. And actually, I've been working on many lectures to sometimes we have to start from the ground up. There's some fundamentals that people cannot go without, especially in programming. You know, there's this boring stuff that people have to learn, you know, such as what are variables, what are static types, or what are objects, how to use them. Many things that are kind of boring, but, you know, it's not, you have to learn about them before even programming. So that's what I've been working on, especially that now we have the Apple Watch that's coming out. I want people to dive in the Apple Watch world, also the reskinning world of the Apple Watch. Is that something that you've put some thoughts into it, the Apple Watch that's coming out?
Yeah, I'm very interested. And I can already see how people will want that watch. I think it's just it's a start from, well, probably not from zero, but it's a great chance for everybody that has maybe missed the first wave of apps, and now we can get our hands on it and be amongst the first ones that release Apple Watch apps.
You're absolutely right, in the sense that when the Apple Watch is going to come out, there's going to be this new app store. It's probably going to be the Apple Watch app store. And what's going to happen is that it's going to be empty. You have to remember that it needs to be filled up. So yep. It's a lot of opportunities to basically take over some markets. I mean, think about it. Let's say you have a calendar app or a to-do list. Okay, let's talk about a to-do list app. Now somebody has a to-do list app that's only on the iPhone, and if you come up with a to-do list app that has all the features of that iPhone app plus you have extra features on the watch app, now if it's the same price, guess what people are going to do? They're going to go with the one that goes on the iPhone app and the watch app, not just the iPhone app. So you have a chance to actually take over markets that are already saturated at the moment. So definitely 2015 is going to be a very interesting year where we're going to see companies fall and new champions come out.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you and I will be part of these new champions. All right.
Yeah.
Nicole, is there any online resources you'd like or usually go to whenever you want to learn more about the app reskinning world or the whole mobile app world?
I'm looking a lot into Udemy, online courses.
Okay.
And then I just bought whatever I want to know. I just search on Google and I come to different sites. So I don't have a particular one where I search for things.
Okay, so if somebody would want to jump into the mobile app reskinning industry, what is the first resource that said that changed or really helped you to get into this industry?
I definitely go for an app that comes with a video tutorial.
Okay.
Because that makes things just so much easier when you've got a detailed description of what to do. Because, especially when you start, it's very complex. When you open up Xcode for the very first time and you look at the code and you think like, oh my God, what does all this mean?
Right. Yeah, there's so many different files, I know. Even for us programmers, you know, it's not easy to know where to start. So I cannot imagine, you know, for people that don't have a programming background, that's quite a task, definitely.
Yeah, there's so many settings as well, and so you really need to know what there is to do.
Yes, and like I think I said in an earlier podcast, somebody gave me a bad review saying that you. I basically put horse blinders on people and just show them what they need to do and nothing else. And yes, they're absolutely right. That's what I do in those, especially in those Udemy courses. I mean, the Xcode and programming world is so big. You know, we just need to focus on what needs to be done to save time. So for some people, it's not that it's a problem, but they would want to learn more. And that cannot be done in a app reskinning video tutorial. It needs to be straight to the point.
No, I think they'd have to go for a different course then. Mm-hmm. Rather learn the programming language than reskin an app. And, well, with every app I've reskinned, I've learned something. No, you learn all these different parts that make the app. No? How to set up the advertising networks, for example, mm-hmm. how to exchange the graphics, how to change colors or typography. Every app has got
absolutely. They all have some different settings that you can play with, and that would also help you learn programming. But instead of being from the bottom to the top, it's from the top to the bottom this time.
Yeah.
Okay, great. If we want to get in touch with you, how can we do that?
Through my website, which is barracudadesigns.com.
All right. How do you spell barracuda? Just like...
Like the fish, barracuda.
Okay.
BARRACUDA designs with S at the end.
Okay.
DESINNS .com.
Got it. Okay, well, Nicole, thanks for everything. I think we just wrapped it up. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go?
No.
All right. And if there's something you could say to someone that feels like they're not doing well in reskinning apps, what would you tell them? One piece of advice?
Keep trying, definitely.
Okay.
Keep going. Because, okay. You never know when it happens. Amazing Pillar was such a surprise. I was so excited. And when I checked my downloads for the very first time and I realized within no time there were already 1,000 downloads. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's a nice surprise.
That sure. happened before. So... watch the App Store,
Right. Keep trying. So keep trying and have apply multiple themes to one source code, and maybe try your minimal approach. Right.
Well, that might not be the overall solution, but in right. that case, it was.
Okay. Well, thanks for your piece of advice, and I surely want to hope hear from you back in 2015 with amazing news. All right.
All right.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show. See you all later.
Thanks to you. Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Hey, are you still there? All right. I just wanted to make sure that you came all the way to the end of this podcast interview. Yes, because Nicole was nice enough to have freebies for you. If you go to appsfresh.com, you will find plenty of layered files for app icons that she did herself, and they look amazing, and they're free. Yes, she's giving them away for free. So, you know, it'd be sad if you don't grab them. So snatch them while they're still online on appsfresh.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. If you find this podcast interesting, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. And sharing is caring, so spread the word. You can also follow me on Twitter at Johann305. That's YOHANN305. Also, come to appfresh.us. appfresh.us. You'll find all the episodes, the show notes, and resources to make you more productive. See you at the next episode.